Welcome to my podcast on standards-based grading. My name is Trevor Keel. I am a high school mathematics teacher in Rice Lake, Wisconsin. And I would just like to start, I guess, by talking a little bit about my own story. When I was in high school, I was your typical traditional student. I always wanted to get an A. I was going to do whatever it took to get an A. I was going to do extra credit if there's extra credit. I was really only concerned about my points on a test and what I needed to do to bump up my percentage, that extra half a percent. And as I look back on it now, as a teacher, I really wish that my mindset would have been different. I wish that I would have enjoyed learning and not cared so much about just getting that perfect score. I really think that standards-based grading is something that can really help change the mindset of that traditional learner into somebody who really wants to learn, who wants to be there, who cares more about that learning than just getting those points or those or that letter grade. This is just my story of where I'm at this point in my career. I just finished my fifth year teaching, and what I've learned about standards-based grading and, how I am planning on implementing it and what I've already done. The way this podcast is going to go is I'm going to ask myself five different questions and just follow those up with answering them with what I've learned, and hope you guys enjoy it. Okay, the first question: why did you become interested in learning about standards-based grading? So up to this point in my career, I've been teaching in a traditional grading system. I did try for a while something I called a hybrid standards-based grading model, where I was giving my students these concept checks. And when I put them in the grade book, I was putting them in there by whatever the skill was, the concept that we had learned. But they were still points-based, and it really still wasn't changing my students' mindsets. Basically, what I was seeing in this traditional grading system was that kids were more focused on, again, points, percentages, and letter grades. And it just didn't seem like they were really, that they really cared about the learning and understanding the concepts. It seemed like half of the time the only questions that I would get kids to ask me were, what can I do to raise my grade? Or why did I get this point off here? And I wasn't getting the questions that I wanted. It was mostly just students learning the material for an assessment and then forgetting it. In standards-based grading, as I started looking into it, it seems like it really addresses some of these questions. You know, it's going to put focus on learning and trying to improve and master skills and concepts. And it's also going to teach kids how to do quality work. It's going to start to get kids to ask questions that are actually geared towards learning and understanding the concepts. And it's going to help with them to not just memorize something. They're going to have to actually be able to explain concepts and their thinkings. So when I started looking into standards-based grading, I kept reading articles that were coming up with repeating these things, putting this focus on student learning and kids actually having to explain their thinking. And that's what really, I guess, first got me interested in standards-based grading. Question number two: what goes into a grade and what doesn't go into a grade when you are doing standards-based grading. I think to be able to answer this question, we really have to start with another question, and that is, what does a grade really mean? And at least what I've learned at the high school level is that it's going to be very difficult to get away from still giving kids an A through an F. And what we did at Rice Lake was we sat down and said, okay, well, at least what do each of those letters mean? So an A really means the student has mastered the standard. A B really means the student is proficient in the standard. A C means the student has a basic understanding of the standard. A D means the student has minimal understanding of the standard. And an F means the student shows no evidence of understanding the standard. So back to the question then, what goes into a grade and what doesn't go into a grade when you're doing standards-based grading? Well, I think after thinking about what a grade really means, the answer is kind of simple. The only thing that should go into a student's grade is what that student is learning or has learned. I'm going to read you a quote from an article in Educational Leadership, and it says, the article title is 7 Reasons for Standards-Based Grading. And the quote goes like this: if we base our grades on standards rather than attendance, behavior, or extra credit, we can actually help students grapple with the idea of quality and walk away with a higher degree of self-sufficiency. And I just think that that quote really nails it. You know, when we are grading kids, we need to understand that we can no longer have attendance, behavior, participation, extra credit, you know, things like binder checks. All of those things need to go away. They should not be a part of a grade anymore. Now, I still think that there is a place for those. And actually, in Rice Lake, what we did so that we could still emphasize some of those things is we came up with a sheet that we call success skills. And on this piece of paper, we report out to kids where we think they are with 3 different things. And those 3 different things were prompt and prepared, persistent and productive, and responsible and respectful. So we use that success skills sheet to report out on those things that, yes, those pieces can help a student become successful in the classroom, but they should really not have any effect on that student's academic grade. So, you know, again, I really think that a grade should only show where a student is at in their learning on a standard. This way, when we do this, we truly know, you know, what that student knows as a teacher, and the student now has a much clearer view on what they know. If we leave those other pieces that are not academic related in the gradebook, now the student really doesn't have an idea of if they are truly grasping a concept. They could, it could look to them like they really, really are because, you know, they do participate and they're always there and they do the extra credit. So maybe their grade is inflated, but maybe they really don't understand the material or the concepts. And it could go the other way too. You could have a student that really does understand the standards, but now they're getting a low grade because maybe they don't participate all the time, or they don't do the extra credit, or their attendance is spotty. So if we can leave our grades simple, where a student, or it only shows what a student is learning or has learned, then that's going to have a lot more impact on a student. And it's truly going to follow more of a standards-based grading model. Question number 3. What is different about standards-based grading that teachers wouldn't be used to. So I think the first big thing that teachers would have to get used to if they're going to transition to standards-based grading is retakes. And we have to understand that, you know, when a student takes an assessment for the first time, they're not always going to do their best. There's, you know, many reasons why they could do poorly. So students are going to have to retake assessments. And the idea behind a retake is to encourage students to continue to learn. But retaking just for the sake of retaking does not provide the type of learning we want to see. So something that we decided to do at Rice Lake before a kid retakes an assessment would, they would have to earn an opportunity to do it. So we came up with different things that they could do to relearn before they retake. And those things might include like completing all of the practice, class practice assignments, or a verbal conversation maybe, or a meeting with the teacher just to talk about, hey, what did you do wrong? What have you learned? You know, making corrections on that assessment. And then, or something like maybe a kid doesn't want to have a conversation with you, or maybe they're more comfortable writing a paragraph of explaining, you know, what they did wrong and what they've learned, how they've learned to do it the correct way. So just something to make the kids, you know, actually reflect and relearn the material before they come in and reassess. So if we have students complete these steps beforehand, you know, then the hope is that they would actually have learned the material before retaking that assessment. The next piece that would be something that would be different in standards-based grading is, you know, how you assess students and how you report it. And again, I'm just kind of reflecting on what I've done so far in my math classroom at a high school level. So what I did is I took some of my assessments, and after I picked out, you know, the main standards that were in those assessments, I reorganized them so that they were in order of, you know, that made sense with the standards. So they were building upon themselves. And the next thing I did is I took off all points and percentages and all of those pieces. And I sat down and I created, you know, a rubric for each standard that I'm assessing on that assessment. So, for example, in one of them, maybe there's three standards. So I created a rubric that, you know, talked about each level of that standard, what I'd be looking for. So for example, you know, the highest a student would get is that they've mastered it. The next level would be, are they proficient? The next level underneath that would be basic, minimal, and then the lowest level would be no evidence. So, and I actually, you know, I put down some descriptions of what that looks like based on whatever the standard is at each of those levels. And when I hand the assessment back to the student, what I did is, what I really liked was I was able to just write feedback on that student's assessment. You know, in the past traditional grading, I would take off points and yeah, I would write down some feedback, but when you hand that test back to a student, they really focus on, you know, -2 or -3. And a lot of times they don't really read the feedback that you're trying to give them. So I really like that part of it. On the test itself, you know, there's no, it doesn't look very negative. There's just descriptions and there's just comments and feedback and questions that I pose for them. And then on the rubric, I circled, you know, where they were at. My first attempt at it, what I tried to do was, you know, I had my 4 or my 5 levels, but I also tried to relate them to a point scale. So I had a 4, 3, 2, 1, and a 0. And again, 4 is mastered, 3 is proficient, 2 is basic, 1 is minimal, 0 means no evidence. And I'll talk more about it later, but basically I decided that I really don't like using numbers at all if I'm trying to go to this standards-based model. But I guess getting back to the question, you know, what's different about standards-based grading that teachers wouldn't be used to? And, you know, right now I'm focusing on the assessing and reporting part. And I just think that, you know, you have to eliminate that traditional mindset. You have to pick out the standards. And you have to provide kids with, and again, in a math classroom, I provide them with, you know, these rubrics that I don't care if they see these rubrics. I want them to see it. They need to see, you know, what do I have to be doing on this standard to be mastering it? And when I report it back to the students, I'm able to just give them a lot of feedback. And it's less threatening. And they know they have that opportunity to retake it and try to master that standard. So, you know, what's really different about standards-based grading that a teacher wouldn't be used to is that there's this huge emphasis on student learning and constantly thinking about, you know, what standards you're teaching and what mastery of those standards looks like. Question number 4, what would be 3 easy steps if you wanted to implement standards-based grading? Step number 1, you have to know your standards. Right now, my math department has been spending a lot of time sifting through the Common Core State Standards, and we're trying to pick out what we're calling priority standards. So, you know, that's one way to go about it. In my pre-algebra class, like I said, I sat down and looked at my assessments and I just picked out, you know, what I thought were the main standards that were being assessed in those assessments. So, number 1, you need to know your standards. Number 2, you need to know what mastery and proficiency looks like for each of those standards. You know, so that is really the second step, is once you've identified them, can you give a clear description to students what mastery and proficiency would look like for that standard? And the third step is you need to know how you want to assess each standard. And, you know, in my math classroom, you know, something that I guess I'm guilty of is many times it's paper and pencil assessments. That is a goal of mine, though, is something that I'm working towards, is trying to reach more multiple intelligences and letting kids have more of a say of how they want to be assessed. So that's something that I'm working towards. But, you know, knowing how you want to assess each of those standards would be your third step. The last question, number 5, where do you want to go next with standards-based grading? So earlier I mentioned how my first attempt at standards-based grading, I decided to try to use this 4-point scale with 4 correlating to mastered and then so on and so forth. And I think, you know, where I'd like to go next is after I tried, you know, grading some students' assessments, you know, using that number scale, I felt like I still wasn't really changing much in terms of students' mindsets. And I felt like, you know, trying to use those numbers to correlate to the letter grade really wasn't much different than just using your traditional 100-point scale and percentages. So, you know, what I'd like to do next is just eliminate points completely. And, you know, when I score kids, only give them mastery, proficiency, basic, minimal, or no evidence. And then on an assessment, you know, depending on what they got for each standard, then letting the teacher have more discretion on, you know, where do I think they fall then? Did they get an A? Did they earn an A minus, B plus, B? That way I just feel like the letter grade has more meaning behind it. So that's really, you know, one thing that I really would like to try to go to next with my standards-based grading is eliminating points completely. And then the obvious pieces is, you know, I need to continue to identify standards. And what I realize is that this process to convert to standards-based grading is really tedious and it takes a long time. You know, in the next 5 years, it might take me 5 years to get to being where I want to be with standards-based grading. I'm going to take it one class at a time. I'd like to start with my pre-algebra class and finish converting that to standards-based grading. Try teaching it a couple times in that standards-based grading model. And I'd like to do all of that before I even tackle another one of my classes. So continuing to identify the standards in my pre-algebra class, creating rubrics with descriptions on mastery, proficiency, and so on, and really working towards trying to completely eliminate points in the gradebook to help students change their mindsets. So this podcast, was all about standards-based grading. I really hope that you enjoyed hearing my journey of where I'm at this point in my teaching career going towards standards-based grading. And if you have any questions or things you'd like to ask me about, please feel free to contact me.